joined us. Now it's a pleasure to bring on this next guest. So they're very kind to talk to this audience here in Alabama, Congressman Scott Desjarlais of Tennessee. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great this morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. A lot going on in Washington, D.C. You, from your perspective, just watching what has unfolded the past few days, I mean, we go from riots to impeachment, certainly historical times, and you're right there in the middle of it.
Sure. I mean, last week, of course, we were all hugely disappointed by what happened at the Capitol, something that nobody wanted to see, and probably didn't anticipate anything to that extent. We've learned from that, and we move on. I think what happened yesterday was shameful, that Nancy Pelosi, in her blind hatred for our president, decided to rush to basically a kangaroo court witch hunt trial and had an impeachment vote. And normally this goes through a process, as we remember, when they impeached him the first time. They went through, I guess it's supposed to be Judiciary Committee, but I don't think they had much faith in Jerry Nadler, so they let Adam Schiff in the Intel Committee run it. But nonetheless, there were witnesses. It lasted several days, and both sides got to make their case. Yesterday, basically, they put it on the House floor, threw some back and forth debate, and then voted. And now, you know, they can say that President Trump's the first president to be impeached twice. But I was really disappointed in the fact they did that at a time where our nation really does need to come together and heal. And I think that was a very divisive move, and we'll see what the Senate does with it.
Right. I mean, do you worry that this could be the new norm, that we're here, we are sitting here today, and the way this was rushed through and forced through, that, I mean, it could be done again and again and again?
Sure. I heard somebody, I can't remember which rep, they were ready to introduce articles of impeachment against Joe Biden before he even gets in office. And so when, you know, one party's in control, you just get the burn the witch mentality and you impeach him. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think impeachment used to mean something, and now it's just weaponized as a political tool. And, the president, I thought Brian Mast from Florida made an interesting point. He stood up and asked yesterday, with 170 people that have been arrested for going into the Capitol, has any of them made the comment that they did so because of the words of Donald Trump? And they had no answer for that. Now, it's not to say some won't come out later, but as of yesterday, they had no evidence that Donald Trump incited that activity. And if you listen to the transcript of Donald Trump's speech, he said, go to the Capitol and peacefully let your voices be heard. And so you don't have to like Donald Trump, and I personally thought he could have been quicker on the trigger to get on TV and denounce it as soon as it began to happen. So I wasn't thrilled about that. But I don't lose sight of all the great things he did over 4 years as president, and they're just trying, in my opinion, to put a stain on everything that he did and who he was by this. And, you know, the hypocrisy and the double standards of the riots that occurred all summer long, the looting, the burning, the deaths that occurred all summer that were rarely or barely denounced by the left, all of a sudden, you know, this was the be-all and end-all of riots. And they talk about five, now six people died during this violent mob. Well, we know that one woman, unfortunately, was shot. That's still under investigation. A police officer succumbed. Three people died from medical emergencies. Very unspecified. That people that had a heart attack that could have had it in Texas or in Washington, but they didn't necessarily die due to an angry mob. And we know that there was 40,000+ Trump supporters there. And if history shows you, I've been to Trump rallies. They're peaceful, patriot people that want their voices heard. This wasn't 40,000 Trump supporters storming the Capitol. There's a couple hundred lunatics that very misguided did this. And so everything about it is an exaggeration. And so the hypocrisy of their riots versus this insurrection is talked about completely differently on the news.
I mean, does it concern you this, though? You see this move right now, and I watch a lot of news, unfortunately, but it does seem that it's not just villainization, but almost criminalization of Trump supporters just by virtue of being a supporter of the president. I mean, here we are, 70 million people voted for the president, and there's this really just this, I think, unwarranted, unrestrained push against anything to do with the so-called MAGA crowd, that seems like that could be a problem in the future.
Certainly. I mean, that's almost half of America supported this president. He had a record number of votes in any presidential election until this election. And let's not forget what last Wednesday was all about. It was to shed light on several states that changed their election laws leading up to the election because, I guess, the guise of COVID for the most part. But Pennsylvania was a state I objected to the electors because the legislature makes the election laws. And in that state, a Democrat Supreme Court changed the rules along with the Secretary of State that allowed different timing for when ballots could be counted. And then also mail-in ballot procedures. In Georgia specifically, you have to request a ballot. That's what the law states. But they just forewent that law and sent ballots out to, you know, millions, around the country, millions. But in Georgia, for the Biden election, 800,000 ballots went out, which they went and harvested. And as you know, apartments change hands. So some apartments were getting 7, 8, 9 ballots. And they went and harvested these and brought them back and then lowered the standards, if using standards at all, for signature match. So really, we don't even know who was voting. And just one more thing on Georgia. The water main was reported to have broken on election night. Everyone had to go home because the water main in Fulton County broke. And it seemed like 4 years ago there was a fire or something else in Fulton County. But now, weeks and months after the fact, when they investigate the water main, it wasn't a water main at all. It was a urinal that overflowed. But yet it got everybody out of there. Then they counted the ballots in the dark of night where nobody could watch the process. And things like that sow distrust in the election process. So last Wednesday was all about us shedding light on whether or not this was a free and fair election. And I think there's over 50 million people that don't think it was. And so that day that was supposed to be our time to shine and shed light was stained by this event, and we can't lose sight that still needs to be done.
Do you think this ought to be moved up to the front burner? I mean, it seems like the response from the media elites and the Democrats is there's nothing to this. Have no concern, and if you do have a concern, we're gonna remove you from society. But if you want to get anything accomplished, as long as you have a sizable portion that don't think this is a legitimate election, nothing's going to get done. So it would seem to me the logical thing to do would be at least take a closer look at the election processes in this country.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. It's Georgia was a great example again because it was traditionally a red state. Granted, turned in a little purple, but when Hillary Clinton ran, there was 80,000 mail-in ballots. When Joe Biden ran, there was 800,000, and then David Perdue, who actually won by almost 100,000 votes but didn't hit the 50% threshold because of their bizarre law, had to go into a runoff. Well, they knew they had to make up 100,000 votes. Well, guess how many mail-in ballots they found for that election? 1 million. So they covered 2 million or 200,000 additional mail-in ballots in Georgia, and lo and behold, the guy loses. So if those are legitimate and those people were entitled to vote, fine, but that's not what Georgia law said. And we've got to have some type of picture, photo ID law. The signature ID, I guess, is better than nothing. But in places like Nevada, that wasn't even working. They turned the sensitivity down on the machine so I could sign your name, you could sign mine. It wasn't going to be picked up. So was this a free and fair election? I highly doubt it. Was there enough votes to overturn the election? Maybe we'll never know, but I can certainly understand Trump's frustration and the frustration of 50-plus million Americans that wonder if their vote even matters anymore.
Hey, Congressman, I know you're tight on time here, but I want to get this question in. COVID-19, the vaccines being rolled out, just from your point of view, the way this is all being handled right now, what's left to do in getting the vaccine? I guess getting more people inoculated from COVID-19 and handling that situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing, historic time frame on getting a vaccine produced and pushed out. I mean, the Trump team needs to be commended for that. Mike Pence did a lot of work on that. I mean, we've never done this in this time frame ever, but you're not going to hear any credit going to Trump. Dr. Fauci, who's all over the board and flips and flops, said before the election, you're not going to see vaccines out in any meaningful fashion until summer. And then, as Trump said, by the end of December, couple million people had been vaccinated. Now, you can always do things better, and I promise no matter how Biden does it, there will be ways that it could have been done better, but the bottom line is we're getting the most vulnerable vaccinated at record rates. And you see Cuomo in New York, another flip-flopper, saying, oh, we got to open these businesses. We can't afford to stay closed. Now that we have the vaccine, we can do that. So, yes, I mean, I think that it's going to be a game changer, and over the next few months, we're going to see some return to normalcy because of this. I think that people forget. It's really remarkable that it's just now January, and we're vaccinating people by the millions. So, a remarkable accomplishment by the Trump team.
Congressman, we'll leave it there, but thank you for making time for us. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good, Jeff. Hope you get some sleep and enjoy that new baby.
Thank you. Congressman Scott DeJarle, ladies and gentlemen, joining us.